Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another special video edition of the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Many of you watching this follow along on our Film to Field Friday segments, where we outlined the five fights and had our experts Andy Rylan and Coach Vince Digitano break down some game film from coaches from across the country. For those of you who are listening on the podcast, the video and links to all of our series are at blogs.usafootball.com. Be sure to check it out. The segment we have today is some bonus footage from our last installment on the Fight to Finish, featuring Coach Chris Vassar, who you may know from the Deep Dive on Defense series, and his tackling coach, Justin Nash, both from Clovis High School in California. After their session ended, we kept the camera rolling and recorded a Q&A they had with our experts. We thought there was some really useful coaching content when we went through it, so we decided to put this up as a bonus segment out there. So here is our Q&A, which is going to start with a question from Coach Nast.
How do you go about pairing off your different tackling circuits? When you make your circuit, do you just go like, for example, one circuit's all like fight the finish, for example, or do you pair different? How do you go about determining that?
I don't do anything. No.
Yeah. So I think if the installation, so I've advised all the guys that we've worked with that it depends on the time of year. So if we're like in the off season or spring ball, it's maybe early summer, and we feel like we have a long run up, then I think you can say, all right, hey boys, this week is going to be track week. This week is going to be prepare week, right? The closer you get to the season, the more integrated the approach has to be, where you start to say, like, we're going to work on all of it all the time because we don't have time to build it in that way. But to Vin's point, I think the most important thing is that starts to become integrated really quickly, where it's just like every drill we do, you know what I mean? Cleats in the ground is the standard. Every drill we do, finish on top of the bag is the standard. So you can use the individualized drills to say like, hey guys, we're going to really focus on tracking this week, and here's going to be like two or three cool new track drills. Or, hey, we're going to focus on clamps, so we're going to do the band drill. But the other thing is the key words just start to dominate your language for everything that you do. And Vin makes a great point about this. You know, you don't have to throw out your old drills. You know, like your old standbys are still going to be great, but now when we're doing angle tackle, for instance, you know, you're going to hear the coaches talk about, hey, foot in the hoop, you know what I mean, arrowhead tight clamp. So it just starts to integrate completely with that. And then the other thing that I've talked to coaches, because again, it is a lot and it can be overwhelming, is picking the two or three low-hanging fruit key areas that you think are going to have the most impact right away. And so, you know, somebody says like, hey, cleats in the ground and clamp, that's going to give us a lot really quickly, so that we're going to do some cleats in the ground and some clamp work. And that way we're not like totally changing the system and introducing four brand new drills every day and kind of overwhelming the kids. You just choose a couple things that, after watching, you know, some game film from last year, you think are important. Other random things I throw out is breaking down all of last year is awesome. I normally pay more attention to the last four games because that's a better picture of who you were at the end of the season. Whereas, you know, guys mature over the course of the year. So like you could have some early stuff that just like doesn't represent who that guy turned out to be. And then if you get into the player stuff, one of the benefits is outside of which tackles, which positions make, you know, you can start to dig into your returners and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And the guys that are leaving, you know, you don't need to worry about as much detail on, more, hey, this guy played safety. These are the types of tackles he made most often. We can prepare the next guy for those. But I wouldn't waste time kind of pulling apart his strengths and weaknesses and KPIs, because it's not going to benefit you next year, obviously.
Like, we have a whole thing, and this is how the field gets set up. I do this pretty much every practice that we have it. So, and I set it up by group. This is just my personal preference, is we don't, because, you know, the tracking is different for each coach and each position. And we've actually found that we've got more productivity out of like go leading in. We actually do a turnover, a takeaway circuit prior to that. So they do like a takeaway circuit, and then right into that, they go into tackling from there. So from there, like on this specific day, like the warm up drill, the track drill that the corners did was swoop drive. And then they did, like, they worked some because we had less corners and stuff. So they worked less like contact stuff. So they did some mat hookup, some arrowhead, some fish hooks, some finish stuff, some grappling stuff over there. And then, you know, part of it too, to be honest with you, comes back to what bags I have available. Like I always space out which bags I want because I have those Richie Gray bags too. So I have a level two, I have a level three, I have a dip and rise. Like they can't all be in one place at one time. So it's like, well, I want this to happen here. I want, like, I'm going to focus on the defensive line staying connected, but I want them to run the hoop there too. They're going to steal a little hoop drill off of that too. Right. Cause that's something that the defensive line coach wanted. They got their EDD tracking. They got hoop with the heavy bag. So I'm going to get them off of movement that's going to lead them to be at that level one bag, that like knee to thigh kind of bag. So I want that bag over there. The level two bag, like this actually came off of like what you just saw with distraction. It was just a simple like wave drill where the backers had to go ahead and then bend back and fit downhill. And that was a band drill off of that too. So we're going to see, I study every day, like with the tackle we make and in practice in spring. So I'll come off of it every single day and I'll be like, I walk the line, and I talk to that all the time, Andy. I walk the line from where the player is, and I first start and say to the coach, what are their keys? And I start to look, and I'll say, like, all right, so you want me to look here, look here, look here. That is now reactionary, this tackle. This tackle is not going to be lined up because I'm not going to be able to see these four things, run to this spot, and be able to go ahead and see this wholeheartedly. I'm going to react off of it too. So that's where, like, all my drill design comes off of number one. Like where they're standing, where they have to run to, and then basically like what the angle is going to be, what the efficiency is going to be, design everything off of that. I do not spend, listen to me, I don't, in the off season, high school wise, yeah, you want to spend a little bit of time and be like, all right, we're going to do these drills like today. Like, and then you start to, like Terry does a really good job of like coupling the drills together. Like where he says like, all right, I'm going to get reactive star and jam drill together. Like, I'm going to get those two things happening, but you got to introduce one to get to, like, the other. But, like, you know, I would, you know, I still think in high school, for me, you got to go ahead and I'm going to work track up to, like, prepare up to like reconnect, and I'm going to work at the point of contact to the back end and then continuously try to merge those two points. I still do that. But what happens is we have spring football. We have the summer session, which guys are out there working now. You know, we got fall camp, which is there. And we don't got time during the season. We have 90 guys on the roster. We're in the Patriot League. We ain't got that kind of time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be 5 minutes. It's going to go. I'm lucky if I'm going to get the 5 minutes during, you know, because we have all sorts of academic requirements, NCAA stuff. So the reality is like, I try to be as efficient as possible, stuff exactly what I see. And truthfully, a lot of times with the guys, less is more. Like, you almost, it's like, it becomes like whole part whole. Like, it's just like, give it to them. Don't let them have to get a million coaching points. Let them get the feel for it too. Let them understand and then go from there. What's the one I really like, Andy, with the I was showing you, which is the with the color coding, right? The color coded noodles.
Right? Yeah, with so they react off the color to the noodles. Yeah,
like I mean, I just created something recently where it's like where we like, I found that we couldn't track the ball from like inside out. So we ended up with like colorful noodles. And one of the things was, is like stealing from Richie again, like all too many times we stand there and we point. Right. And we're focused on one thing. I changed it to like, they have to react to hearing what color the pool noodle was. So now they're like, they have to like shut off a sensory to get to another sensory. Like you just keep on kind of like innovating within that scope, but in the same aspect, non-negotiable for it is it's two rolls you got to end up on top, like in every drill that we do. So those little things that you're building, I think, are so much more important because you're going to come up with an endless array of different things that are going to end up happening. But what you're married to is I'm staying connected to the bag, right? I'm getting as close as physically possible, right? To the, whatever, not even the bag, but to the manipulative. And when I do it, right? It's going to be two rolls and get back on top. I got an example for you here.
It's actually, we talked about this today, Vinny and I, about instead of teaching like some old school offensive line coach did, where it was like 6-inch step here, 12-inch step here, hand placement here. It's more about like big concepts. And you think the game is chaotic enough that like it's going to happen a crazy number of ways. But the concept of cleats in the grass, of clamp, of finish on top, like if the players know, understand those concepts conceptually, they can just start to find them in chaos and apply it to every drill. So I really think that's the strength, is that it's like we're telling from a tons of film study, these are the things that we think are associated with great tackles. Now, let's see how many different ways we can get players to find those things. So we give like an entry level. There's two more levels of this coming out. We're not adding any new KPIs. We're just adding some new drills and a couple new finishes. But it's like the drills just get more complex of how can I put players in as many situations as possible and make sure that cleats are always in the ground? How can I put players in as many positions as possible and see if they can find a way to re-square to the target after a crazy track? So if you think about it that way, your imagination can just go nuts.
You know, and the other thing too is they write the tackling plan. Like they write the practice plan. Like I don't write it. Players write the practice plan. Like here's an example. You got the tennis ball drill in front of you, Andy?
Yep.
Yeah. So here, Justin, here's a perfect example, right? We couldn't bend at different places. Like Chris, you were just talking about before. This right here, this can right here is the inside thigh, is B gap. This can right here is basically C gap. And what all we did was this. When I get to this is $1, $2, $3 at the dollar stores basically. And these two are upside down on top of each other. The biggest thing I wanted to do was get as close as possible and stay as big as they can for as long as they can till they get there. And there's a different drop height when you get to the outer thigh, right? Working, or when you have to bend back into B gap. So the biggest thing we have here is run as fast as you can towards that can. Like this is just an opener. Run as fast as you can toward that can by staying square and then be able to go. The thing we have in their hand is we have like just a tennis ball that makes you have to have your hands up, catch it, and be able to drop down. Just as simple as that. You know why? Not because whatever. They couldn't do it because they couldn't do it because we kept on leaving our feet all the way back in the back here, about 3 yards off, and missing the tackle. So instead of doing that with no pads on, what we did was we had them attack as fast as possible that outside C gap with leverage. And if you see me work myself back inside, you work back inside. And then you're going to be, and again, what's going to happen is I'm probably going to make a tackle around the chest area. Because now I'm not going to be able to drop down and get there and get any kind of leverage in there. Actually, that's no different from the tackle your kid when he ends up getting dragged on. It's the exact same scenario. Because I'm going to be fast at the track. Because what kids have a tendency to do, what players do, is they play the safety net tackle, what they call. Let me get as wide as possible. As long as it doesn't get outside of me, I'm fine. At all levels, it doesn't matter. You know, then work yourself back inside. Get square again.
You know? They have no power. They've been there. You're talking about moving your arms out like this when you're saying safety net, like literally, physically.
Yeah,
I'm actually talking. Here's one I'll talk about here. I'm going to cut this. I'm talking about, Chris, I'm talking about that the path to the line of scrimmage is I'm going to go all the way out here and keep it inside of me. Forget about your arms. I'm talking about.
I thought you meant like.
No, well, they do that too. But what happens is they take the path that goes all the way around and goes, well, I'm just going to keep. The ball has to – I'm the force player, so the ball has to stay inside of me. Like, oh, great. All right, theoretically, it's inside of you. You just put stress on the middle third safety, now has to make a gigantic open field tackle because it's inside of you because you ran this gigantic path. So that's why, like, that whole concept right there, that was just a fight to prepare drill. In essence, I'll look at it because – but we're looking at it and saying, like, what are the KPI guides this thing, right? So it's like they're not staying square. Right? They're not getting close enough to it. They're not getting the foot in the hoop, right? Forget it. And it goes back in a progression. They can't roll over the foot if they can't get the foot in the hoop. If they can't get the foot in the hoop, right, it's like the give a pig a pancake kind of deal. You know, you're going to want some syrup. That's it. Every single time there's going to be more and more and more. You can tell I have kids if I've read that book. But the, you know, the thing is,
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
I'm completely.
There's a book, Chris, that goes, if you give a pig a pancake, he's going to want syrup. He's got syrup. He's going to get sticky.
Oh, it's give a mouse a cookie, just sort of different. Pig a pancake, okay, I got it.
You got it. You know what the deal. But the key is here, like Justin, you asked a great question: is how do you prepare? Go back and how do you design the whole thing? You design what they can't do, overwhelmingly what they can't do, and you start with the what am I doing? Can I get close to the guy, right? Can I get there with a good angle? If I can accomplish those things, now can I get my foot in the hoop? Can I get, and it goes back to body position. It goes back to, well, why can't this kid get his foot in the hoop? Well, because it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Maybe this kid's longer. Maybe this kid's whatever. Maybe I got to adjust and I can teach that kid separately, right? So they go looking at that from a concept perspective. And then you start to look and see like, okay, you know, it's all going to lead back to the connection. It's all going to lead back to it. So now you go back to, and I go with Andy with this, it goes back to shoulder strike, right? I'm going to punch with the shoulder, right? You get a lot of kids. We designed some stuff. Like we started to do some things where we're like catching the ball in there because it's an issue. We found that like we're hitting and the bag was bouncing off and we were catching on the rebound, right?
That's what our kids did, yeah.
Right. So now we're doing some stuff as simple as taking a tennis ball and laying it on top and being like, can I catch it? You know what I mean? How fast can I plant myself? Like little things we're doing like that, those are warm. You know what I mean? Because it goes back to the sensation. It's not, I can't just rehearse that. Can I feel something? And then clamp it with that upper part of my arm, whip it with the other part of my arm. You know what I mean? It's like those things like are there. Like that's a whole different fundamental and a whole different skill set than it is to be able to go ahead and get there, right? And it's, again, at some point, it's going to tie all together. But you don't have to feel like I have to do just the connect drills. After. I still do think in the installation phase, it is linear. But when you start to get to the correction phase, that's when you really start to come into your own. That's why for us, it's almost – like track is almost eliminated from like our tackling because it's become an everyday thing. It's like if you don't get there, it's not going to be okay. Like that's just the way we look at it. But I only looked at it because I wasn't and I had coaches telling me, man, I got to do some tracking. I got to do some tracking. And my mindset was like, well, I don't want to devote a whole day, 5 minutes to tracking. And I was like, well, I got to see the best of both worlds. They got to feel comfortable with what they're doing. And then it was evidence because you know what happens as a tackle coach, I'll tell you this, because being at this level, the minute somebody doesn't track, they say, oh, we should have done tracking. Yep. But that's where you say, you know what? I got to listen to people. And what happens is you got to listen. You're doing this thing. You can't just listen to players. You got to listen to coaches too. Because coach has to have a vote in where it is too. Coaches have to believe in it. You don't want it to be like a special team where everybody goes, hey, I guess especially if someone's going to stand over here and wait and get some water. Same deal. No, I mean, those are the things that you look at. That's where it's kind of like that endless kind of like thing you kind of get into. Like you keep on going with it too. But it goes back to like everybody knows the whole program. Like if they see like I don't get two rolls and stand up on top, they're like it's not okay. Like those are the things that's not okay because those are the things you build, you know. And then you start to play with things. You start to realize little things when you go. Here, the funny part of this whole thing, right? I'll give you another one off of this. I got into this whole thing, you know, and it's always dangerous. And Chris, just so you know, it's very dangerous when I call Andy.
Oh, God.
Keith?
Yeah.
How dangerous is it when I call?
It's.
You don't never know what you're getting.
Sometimes it's just. It changes things like this morning.
And I have a question about we don't have the funds in our program to get these type of bags. And I was trying to adapt to get bags that are similar to that. Do you think the same benefits could be found if we use like a heavy bag, like a boxing heavy bag or something? Because they're a lot cheaper than those bags, according to our head coach. We just don't have the funds to
purchase. And I do agree with that. No, the boxing heavy bag is a good solution for the rolling heavy, like to be able to use, right? Just keep the chains off of it, right? But the thing is, I'm the most DIY person to me. I just happen to get the bags from Richie because I've managed to finagle it out of his hands. You know, and at a more skeletal thing. Like, but I am the most, like, I don't know, like these guys know, I'm the most DIY person, right? So, like, the swoop drive drill was built because I didn't have the bags. Because I was like, right, Andy? Like, you can attest to that. Like, we were at Wagner, and Richie told us in September, showed us this thing, and showed us the bags. And it was like, well, we're in season. I need something now. So you got to stay to the standard where you say to yourself, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to get those cleats in the ground. I'm going to get that shoulder strike. I'm going to get that tight clamp. The bands you can still do on the step over bag. Like when you have the elastic band, still be the case. That's not an issue at all. Like, here's something as simple, right? It's here. Like, look at this drill. Now, I know bags are part of it, but like, stop me if you heard this one. Chris, have you ever thought of this one before, right? Right, think about this. This is, again, same drill I just did before, right? Where I talked about with the tennis balls, the same, boom. That's the tackle. So we're going to run to where the tackle is, the offensive tackle. That's our fit. So we're continuously running to the same fit in quarters coverage. Like every drill is designed to fit this play right here, right? But watch this right here. The difference is depth perception and depth sensation. Every drill that we do probably is on the same line, right? Which Andy says, he told me it's predetermined. I know how many steps it's going to be for me to get to that bag. And what we're building is depth, no longer depth perception, depth sensation, which I'm going to run to that bag. And as I run, whatever it is, I'm going to make the contact with that right there, right? Now, I want to be full speed to that point. And I have to adjust on the run to a different level. See what I'm saying? So I have to now adjust, and now it's no longer that I know I'm going to get, like this first kid gets, like the first kid on this bag, on this bag gets, he knows he's got to go ahead and get 3 or 4 steps and get himself there, right? This kid, the second kid, has no idea. He's got instant contact, and he has to now react to it as opposed to being there. And it's basically, they got to feel it rather than just see it. And the other thing, too, is it's not just on the same line. And, like, right here, our expectation is we're making that play behind the line. This is a play we're going to make. We're going to have to, last second, put my, like, I think you just said it before, Chris, like, put your foot in the ground and be able to go in and react right to it. That's why we have it on different planes right there. That's as simple as you can make a drill, and the speed is going to change over time. You know what I mean? Like, they're just going to get more depth to be able to feel that stuff. But like, they're not going to be run at the initial point. So is it a tracking drill? Yeah, I guess it is, right? Is it a prepare drill? Yeah, I guess it is, right? It's definitely a connect drill, acceleration is definitely the standard of what it is, but what it really is, it's a situational drill that's putting into play all of these 5 minutes as a standard. We're making you run as fast as possible, having to quote unquote negotiate the width of it, right? And make you react and understand of all the other things once it gets there. That's what you build towards. Now, in order to do that, you may have to kind of break that drill down. Like I just showed you, like I broke that drill down into a prepare drill. Like we'll do that drill like as a shoulder strike drill with something else, you know, whatever the case may be. But like you got to say to yourself, like, this is the situation you're going to be in. I'm going to break this down in components, but ultimately I'm going to have this phase right here. I don't know if that helps at all.
No, that's great. I actually have a meeting we put this system in with our elementary school coaches because we have tackle football here at the elementary school level. So everyone from elementary school all the way up to the varsity level is running this system. So that's good stuff to go take back to them when I talk to them.
Simple thing. What do I want them to be good at? So, like, you talk about with the grading, sometimes we start very small. Start small with the KPI you want to get good at, right? Young kids, staying square, getting close. Angle approach and leverage, we're going to work to that. But staying square and getting close. I want them to stay square, get close with good body position, right? So I'm going to design drills that are going to do those things, right? Because that's the expectation. And then they get better, and then they get better. Like, you're not going to start band tackle with those kids like right away because like,
exactly, yeah.
Hold on, you know what I mean? But you might start shoulder strike, you know, shoulder jab might be fun for them. You know what? Little kids, I'm the most, like, I have 2 little kids and I've taught little kids. I take a bunch of little balloons and let them try to hit them with their shoulder. You know what I mean? You know, kids like that. What am I doing? I'm teaching them to get close to it as far as possible. And I'm teaching a little bit of like a quarter balloon up in the air. Catch it with the shoulder, you know, like that. The things that with little kids, keep creative, keep them engaged. Like you're teaching them, I got to get as close as possible. That we're getting into, believe it or not, the grip thing is so important, but I want that shoulder curl in there so much that we're starting, and you'll like this one in the summer, we're starting to put the boxing gloves on them so they can't use their hands. Like, we're getting into that place right now where I'm like, I don't want to rely on my hands so much. I want to go ahead and I want to depend on my hands, but I don't want to rely on them. You know, it's a big difference. That's the rabbit hole I go down in my life. But I love the thing is I love I really the skills are what changes everything. Performance skills are what changes everything. Like drills are drills. That's what that's my conversation with you all the time, Keith. We go ahead, we play drills with shit. It's drills. Guys are gonna go ahead and they're gonna say it's drills, but they gotta understand, not that they gotta understand, but they don't have to understand anything at the end of the day. Right? Guess what? At the end of the day, there's only one person gets to win at the end of the year. Like, let's get it straight. There's a bunch of guys that don't gotta understand nothing, really, when it comes down to it, right? It's up to them if they wanna understand it. Like, they can go be the average coach and a couple drills, right? But the reality is, like, knowing why you're doing the stuff you're doing, right? Chris, it's no different for you guys who say they run quarters. They don't know what the hell they're running. Nothing matters.
True that.
No, it took me 20 years to figure out, you know, it took me about 17 years to figure out, I would say, why we read backs and why we read linemen as linemen. Well, what are you running behind it? Like, you know what I mean? Why don't you answer that question for me? You know, like, can't answer five questions for me. Well, we're a zone man, twisting, whatever we are, team. I don't know what the hell we are. I'm more confused from where than ever what people are, what they say. I love when they say we're multiple. I'm multiple. Perfect. And the other thing, too, is with the grading, if you look, Chris, I don't know if you – did you have access to the – I shared it with you under Team Grabowski. I used to grade tackling – to where the deficiency was, Justin. So this was a key. This is a real big breakthrough last summer. So when we did, and I've been grading it along this path for, like, again, about 10 years. Like, when I was at DC at Maritime College, when I first was there, we weren't good, so I had to grade tackling because it was the only thing we had to get better at because it wasn't about success. One of the things I used to say, you know, we look at any system, right, they're all the same. Approach to the football, body position, contact, and basically getting them to the ground, what that looks like. Every system's got to have that. Like, you got to have those components. But the reality is, I used to say, all right, you know, did we get them? Did we get to the football? All right, check. Did we not get in a good position? All right, negative. And I would stop. And that's where I would stop, right there, right? It wasn't until this system with the KPIs that I graded every component along the way. And like Andy and Richie brought it up last year, where if you go ahead and you're out of position, like I have a bad contact line, totally whiff, I'm gonna get the negative for connection to reacting to the outcome. I'm getting the negative for fighting to regain. I'm getting the negative for reshape and regain right there. Right. So it allowed me to see these things and say, like, oh, like there's other things that are happening. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm in bad body position, it did, like, that's where for me it was stopping. Like, you know, and now I look at every piece of the tackle every day. I look at, like, oh, all right, we got to get there to get this, but like, I don't care. If you better get, and like, what it did was, now I felt like it created a better sense of urgency for the tackle. When I look at every part of it, don't just say about getting in body position, we're going to fix that, and then we're going to fix this. Like, it was like, we're going to fix that, but you're still responsible for this. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I have to fix it all. So, like, your question before about do you focus on this, then you focus on this, and you focus on this. Yeah, in that fashion, I got to get good at this to do this. Yes, but I don't devote too much time on just doing that one thing. I'm constantly saying you're responsible for all of it at all times. So, we're just going to fix this part to get to this part. You know
what I mean? Yeah.
There's different components of the lead into it, too. That piece from right before contact and right after contact, like, that's right there. That's where you make your money, right there.
I got you. Well, I really appreciate everything. Thank you for letting me, you know, listen in and be a part of it. It was awesome. Awesome.
Awesome, dude.
Anytime, brother. Anything you need.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to head over to iTunes and click a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.